Time now for the Saturday morning news, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. The WFIW weather calling for cloudy skies today. Some showers still possible through the morning, a high near 50. I'm Darren Caudill reporting. At the recent Wayne City School Board meeting, the board hired Tabitha Bora as a full-time elementary teacher for the next school year. They also hired Adria Marlett as a full-time paraprofessional and accepted the resignation of Mrs. Martin as second grade teacher at the end of the current school year. Greg Dickey, along with several parents, spoke to the board about adding an additional vocational teacher for next year. The school is moving forward with plans to name the big gym after Conrad Allen and is discussing details with the family. The name will be displayed on the red wall by the entry of the gym where the ticket taker sits for games. The board also discussed naming the ball fields and track area after Kenneth Gray. They plan to place recognition of this at the entrance road into the area. Kindergarten students and teachers were recognized for a great President's Day performance. The Facebook Live version of the assembly was mentioned, as well as for those that were not able to attend. The Wayne City FFA banquet will be today at 5 p.m. at the school. All are welcome to come and see the recognition of the students and help raise money for the events. There was a resolution to dissolve the agreement with Bluford for an art teacher. It will not change the amount of time that the teacher will be at Wayne City Schools. The Building and Grounds Committee suggested that the gates in front of the school be removed. They will also be redoing the mulch around the school to help with the mulch that has eroded. Amanda Marshall will be opening a daycare facility in town, so the board approved donating the unusable items from pre-K that were formerly in that building. And the board approved an agreement with the Alan Red Smith Scholarship Foundation. The scholarship will be funded by the funeral donations for the first year and will then be an endowment in the future. More news after this break.
You can listen online at WFIWradio.com. Anytime, anywhere. WFIWradio.com.
Illinois State Police Division of Criminal Investigation Zone 7 officials report the arrest of a Golconda man Thursday. 20-year-old Jacob L. Lemon was arrested for obstructing justice, a Class 4 felony, in connection with an ongoing August of 2021 possession of child pornography investigation. Lemon was processed at the Saline County Jail and released on $25,000 bond. Police say no additional information is being released at this time. Anyone with more information is asked to call ISP DCI Zone 7 at 618-845-3740, extension 281. The Illinois Department of Public Health reporting as of this morning 3,053,185 total cases of the coronavirus in the state and 33,198 deaths. The IDPH says they're monitoring key indicators to identify early but significant increases of COVID-19 transmission in Illinois, potentially signifying resurgence. These indicators are calculated for the 11 Illinois COVID-19 regions. IDPH will monitor if these indicators show an increase in the COVID-19 disease burden with a simultaneous decrease in hospital capacity. These indicators can be used to determine whether additional community mitigation interventions are needed for a region to control the further spread of COVID-19. Latest on the area river stages as of this morning. Little Wabash River east of Fairfield at 21.58 feet below, or rather above, the 17-foot flood stage. At Clay City, the stage is 8.07 feet, flood stage 18 feet. At Carmi, the river's at 23.62 feet, flood stage 27 feet. Skillet Fork at Wayne City at 5.61 feet, flood stage 15 feet. And the Wabash at Mount Carmel at 16.17 feet, Flood stage is 19 feet. At the WFIW studios, 0.045 of an inch of rain was measured from Friday through early this morning. In other news, Sparklight, along with the other Cable One family of brands, has announced they'll open spring applications for the company's charitable giving fund, which annually awards more than $200,000 in grants to 501c3 nonprofit organizations from April 1st through 30th. According to a release from the company, the grants will be made available across communities served by Sparklight and the other Cable One family of brands and will concentrate support in the following priority areas: education and digital literacy, hunger relief and food insecurity, and community development. Last year, the company awarded over $200,000 to 60-plus nonprofits, including organizations serving the homeless, providing child advocacy, offering senior assistance, and supplying food to those in need, to name a few. The Charitable Giving Fund is an extension of the company's existing corporate social responsibility efforts. For more information about the Sparklight Charitable Giving Fund, you can go online to www.sparklight.com/charitable-giving. 26-year-old Brody I. Merbarger appeared in Wayne County Circuit Court Friday morning with his attorney, Christian J. Barrell. Barrell filed a motion to continue the jury trial in the case from May 2nd to September 19th at 9 a.m. The speedy trial calendar has been told, and any delay will be attributable to the defense. Another pretrial conference was set for July 19th at 9 a.m., and the final conference was set for September 13th at 9 a.m. The defense motion made last month for a change of venue was continued as well, and a hearing was scheduled for April 26th at 9 a.m. to discuss the matter. In other matters, Barrell made a motion for the county to appoint an expert to conduct a phone survey for jury selection. He said due to the effect of publicity on the case from various sources for the last 6 years, it should be necessary to prove prejudice against the defendant. He also said Merbarger was indigent and had only $2,000 in his savings account, meaning he couldn't afford the $8,000 to $12,000 cost for the expert analysis. Assistant Attorney General Michael Filegrio spoke for the state and said the jury selection process is most effectively done voir dire, where the defense in court questions potential jurors in person to determine if they are impartial and non-prejudiced. He also argued the defense had not met the burden of proof to show the phone survey was necessary at the county's expense. Judge Michael Molt denied the motion to have the county pay for the survey, but he said that didn't preclude the defense from funding the survey on their own to use for their case for a change of venue. The Hermitage Masonic Lodge, number 356 in Albion, is accepting applications for the Floyd and Mary Buchat Scholarship, Dr. Paul and Molly Nierenberg Scholarship, and the Leonard Stoker Memorial Scholarship. Applications can be picked up at the Guidance Counselor's Office at Edwards County K-12 or by contacting Samuel D. Smith at 618-445-7543 or emailing samds24@outlook.com. Applications need to be turned in by April 15th. The Wayne County Chamber of Commerce will be holding a Ready, Set, Spring open house this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. Director Libby Lingefelder says the event has been moved up a bit in the year to try and entice people to shop for Easter decorations. A list of participating businesses can be found on the WFIWradio.com headlines page. It includes B-Way Design and Decorating, Black's Flowers and Gifts, Farmer's Daughter, Uniquely Rusty, Kincaid's, Mama Bear's Four Seasons, Crafts and More, Carnaby Square, Simply Enough, The Corner, The Willow Tree, The Victorian on Main, and more. Lawmakers are working on bills to close loopholes in Illinois sexual assault laws. Kim Howard has more.
One measure is sponsored by Representative Katie Stewart of Collinsville and is based on a case in another state. A young woman unknowingly slept with a man pretending to be her boyfriend. He was charged and later acquitted.
Because the laws did not cover sexual assault by deception. She was considered to have given consent because she thought it was a different person. It's no wonder that we don't know how many survivors of sexual assault there really are, because laws like this are why lots of survivors don't come forward.
Stewart's bill makes this a felony charge in Illinois. Another clarifies state law so that a person is unable to give consent even if they're unconscious because of something they drank or took themselves. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
That's the news. We'll check area deaths next.
Others have come and gone the past 70 years, but their dedication of superior service has helped them thrive for four generations at Rush Appliance in Fairfield and Carmine. They deliver quality Speed Queen products, and if you ever call them for service, they're in your driveway almost before you hang up your phone. Sean Rush is inviting you to check out Speed Queen washer and dryer pairs at Rush Appliance and Furniture in downtown Fairfield and Carmine.
While we don't all carry an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on our backs, we can remember the wise words of Dr. Peter Venkman, who said, "Why worry? Our wealth management team at Trust Bank has the tools and talent necessary to help you plan for the legacy you want to leave. Contact the team at 618-429-9265 and schedule your consultation. Trust Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. So, who are you going to call?"
Area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 95-year-old Letitia Pollard died March 12th. Letitia Pollard is survived by children Carlos, Lourdes, William, and Nicole, and several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Private services will be held. 80-year-old Moon, Virginia resident Larry Lynn Nelson died Monday. Larry Nelson is survived by children Cheryl, Carmen, Connie, and Craig, several grandchildren and great-grandchildren, siblings Stanley and Karen, one nephew and niece, and three cousins. Private services will be held. 63-year-old Alney resident Glenda Sue Louderback died Tuesday. Glenda Louderback is survived by siblings Carl and Debbie and several nieces, nephews, and aunts. Services will be Sunday at 1 at the Frank and Bright Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 this evening, and interment will be in Florida Garden of Memories Cemetery. 74-year-old Liberty, Missouri resident Billy Jean Duke died Tuesday. Services will be at 1 p.m. today at the Frank and Bright Funeral Home. Visitation from noon to service time, and interment will be in Elmwood Cemetery. 73-year-old Crossville, Tennessee resident James Truman DePoister died January 18th. Services will be at 1 p.m. today at the Golson Funeral Home. Visitation will be from noon until service time. 87-year-old Rogers, Arkansas resident Neva June Kuntz died Tuesday. Services will be Monday at 1 at Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield. Visitation will be from 11 to service time, and interment will be in Coons Cemetery. 83-year-old Johnsonville resident Derek O'Neill Gaines died Saturday, February 26th. Derek Gaines is survived by children Derek, Yvette, and Christy, 10 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and one brother. Services will be March 26th at 2 at the Providence General Baptist Church. The Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. 66-year-old Arthur Neil Mack died on February 28th. Neil Mack is survived by his wife Teresa, several children, one grandson, a brother Doug, and many cousins, nieces, and nephews. Services will be April 2nd from 3 to 5 at the Flora Depot, the Frank and Bright Funeral Home, assisted with local arrangements. A reminder, if you missed any of our obituaries, they're updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Darren Caudill reporting.
With million-dollar lawsuits and drastic increases in court costs, are you and your business adequately insured? We can remove the fear of an unforeseen lawsuit with an umbrella liability policy from Auto Owners Insurance. We'll recommend personal and business protection that meets today's needs. Ask us about no problem protection through Auto Owners Insurance.
This is Bill Atwood. Please give us a call at North Wayne Insurance in Fairfield, Sisney, and Flora.
Connecting rural communities since 1952, Wabash Communications has committed to keeping you connected, providing broadband services even in remote areas, like high-speed fiber-optic internet with speeds up to 1 gig, unlimited local and long-distance voice services, and crystal-clear video picture and sound, along with other additional benefits. We strive to connect one town to another. We didn't create the communities in rural Illinois, we just helped connect them. Service speeds and availability will depend on location. Certain restrictions may apply. Contact us for complete details.
Here's a classic hits WFIW 104.9 FM forecast. Cloudy today, showers possible through the morning, a high near 50, clearing tonight, a low around 34. Sunny Sunday, a high of 67. Monday, mostly sunny, a high around 70. Showers likely Tuesday, thunderstorms possible, a high near 59. Partly sunny Wednesday with a possibility of showers and a high near 61.